Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastitade Satarane.
Flower.
Oh. Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in Vraja and enjoyed his pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan, and then he left this planet. After some time, though, he thought that I did not distribute widely enough pure love of God. So he wanted to come again to do that. And he came again in Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, the method of propagating Krishna consciousness is Sankirtan. And that's stated in, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literatures and the Upanishads. Harinama, Harinama, Hariname, Vikevalam, Kalonas, Devanas, Devanas, Devagataranyata. There is no other method, there is no other method, there is no other method but the chanting of Hare Krishna for attaining God consciousness in Kali Yuga. So, the Lord came in Kali Yuga in the form of Lord Chaitanya. The Kali Yuga incarnation distributes Sankirtan regularly, but 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya personally came, or Krishna personally came. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that very explicitly describes this in the 11th canto. The sages are describing the incarnations of each yuga. They describe that Krishna appears in Dwarpa Yuga, and then they say, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayer Ujjantihi Sumedasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons will worship the incarnation of God by chanting in Sankirtan. This incarnation is Krishna, but he's not blackish. He's always chanting Hare Krishna, and he's always accompanied by his associates, his weapons, and his angas. His anga means his parts, like his limbs. That refers specifically to his panchatattva associates. As for weapons, Lord Chaitanya did not come with weapons as he came in his different Vishnu forms. His weapon was his beauty, and his weapon was his kirtan. So this peaceful incarnation of God, this kills the demons by love. There was one occasion when he was very angry at two demons, Jagai and Madhai, and he did call for his Sudarsan Chakra. But Lord Nityananda said, in this incarnation, Lord, you don't use weapons. Please give them your mercy. So by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, those rascals were redeemed without weapons. The verse says that Krishna is not blackish. When Krishna appeared as a baby, the priest Gargamuni came and said, this child has appeared in other yugas in different colors. He's appeared as white, he's appeared as red, now he's blackish, and he'll appear as yellow. So the incarnation in Satya Yuga was white, and it's Chaitya Yuga, the incarnation was red. And Dwapara Yuga is Krishna, blackish Krishna. And the remaining color, yellow, indicates Lord Chaitanya. So he is not so directly stated in the scriptures, but indirectly in various places. There is proof that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj refers to him as the Channa avatar, the hidden avatar. Lord Chaitanya personally didn't display himself as God. He displayed himself as the pure devotee of God, but his pure devotees could know his actual position. If someone said Vishnu, he would block his ears. But he's actually Krishna, and he came to distribute the holy name. And to imbue it with prema, with the pure love that he shares with his devotees in the four rasas of servitude, friendship, parental and conjugal love. His spreading of the Hare Krishna mantra was potent with prema. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes his descent also. He says that whenever there is an increase in the demoniac population and a decrease in religion, I come myself to set things right. He also says in Bhagavad Gita that if I did not work, then all these worlds would perish. And he says in another place that whatever a great man does, others follow, and whatever example he holds as a standard, all the world pursues. So, in a similar way, Lord Chaitanya personally came, Krishna came, to make sure that the chanting would be distributed at the highest pitch of ecstasy. So this was it's called the secondary reason for his appearance in the world. To benefit all humanity. And we're now living in the age of Kali. And the initial push that he gave is still being continued. There's one verse that says, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they walked the length and breadth of Navadvip and distributed love of God all over the universe. And Prabhupada raises the question, how could, if they only traveled within Navadvip, how could it be said that they distributed all over the universe? And he said, just like Krishna in the beginning, he gives the original momentum to start the universes into action. So Lord Chaitanya gave the initial movement of the Sankirtan era. And now it is continuing to spread. Even now, as Prabhupada brought the Hare Krishna movement to the West, and as it's continuing to spread, being taken up by people all over the world. So Lord Chaitanya, by traveling in Navadvipa, started the movement that would one day be all over the universe. This, it is not that when one becomes liberated, he stops chanting Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur raises this question in his comment on in Shikshastaka. When you reach liberation, then do you stop chanting Hare Krishna? He says, no, it's eternal. And the devotee just relishes it more and more. It's a anandam buddhivardhanam pratipitam purnas varanam snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. It's an ocean of increasing bliss, and the devotee who chants in the beginning stage under rules and regulations continues to chant with great bliss and comes to see Krishna, be with Krishna, but he never stops chanting Krishna. And even in the beginning stage, the name Krishna is the same as Krishna. It's said that it's a more merciful form of Krishna than Krishna the person, because it's so easy to chant. Even if you don't chant distinctly, you get the benefit of Krishna, Krishna's presence. What to speak of when you begin to chant with earnestness and with bhava. So Lord Chaitanya instigated this. There was chanting before he came, there was chanting in Satya Yuga, but there was a predominance of other methods like meditation in Satya Yuga. Then in Treta Yuga there was sacrifices. In Dwapara Yuga there was worship of the deity and worship of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya actually began the Sankirtan movement over 500 years ago, and his followers have continued it, and it will continue forever. But this was only the secondary reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance in the world. He had confidential reasons also. There were three mysteries to Krishna, three things that he was unable to taste in his appearance as Krishna in his relationship with Srimati Radharani. Radha and Krishna are the intimate divine couple, and without Radha there's no meaning to Krishna, and without Krishna there's no meaning to Radha. She's his greatest enjoyment. So there was nothing lacking in his relationship with her, except for the fact that he didn't know what Radharani's position was like. So he had a desire to taste this. There are three aspects of it. One was to know what was her position. She's the consort, he's the predominating male. But he wanted to know what was it like to be Radharani. Krishna wants to taste everything. He wants to enjoy everything. So he wanted that too. It's sometimes said that he stole the position of Radharani as Lord Chaitanya. So he wanted to know what was her position. And the second aspect of what he wanted in his confidential mission was to know what was so attractive about Krishna that Radharani loved him so much. And Radharani is always thinking of Krishna and is always attracted to Krishna, to all his bodily limbs, to everything he does, to everything he says, to everything he thinks. She's always absorbed in Krishna. And in particular, his beauty. But he couldn't taste that position as she did. And so it's said that in the exchange between the two of them, the bliss that Radharani feels is greater than that experienced by Krishna. So he wanted to know what was so attractive about him. And the third thing he wanted to know was her bliss, which I just said, that her bliss is greater than Krishna's bliss, so he wanted to know that too. With these desires in mind, he took the form as Krishna, but Krishna in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna, and even in the bodily complexion of Radharani, golden form. And in this way he satisfied his innermost desires. Radha and Krishna are one. The energy and the energetic, but they separate in order to have pastimes together. But then they again became one as Lord Chaitanya. Krishna's advent is today, and he advented himself in the year 486 AD. He took as his parents a Brahmin named Jagannath Mishra and his chaste wife, who was the daughter of Nilambar Chakravarti, an astrologer, and her name was Sachi Devi. And the birth was not a usual birth. Like in the material world, conception is by seminal discharge. But it was exactly like the birth of Krishna by Vasudeva and Devaki. From the heart of Jagannath Mishra, he transferred Lord Chaitanya to the heart of Sachi Devi. And he appeared in her womb then, from her heart. He was in the womb for 13 months. And Jagannath Mishra became apprehensive. He asked Nilambar Chakravarti what was happening. He said he will appear at an auspicious moment that he's waiting for. And he picked the time of the full moon. Today is called Gaur Purnima, the full moon. There will be a full moon tonight, and the moon of Gaura, of Lord Chaitanya. And on this particular month of Falgun, full moon, there was a full lunar eclipse. So when there's a lunar eclipse, in the Vedic culture, all the Hindus go into the Ganges and chant Hare Krishna during the time of the eclipse. So he got everyone, even from his birth, he got everyone to chant. And made it auspicious. At that time, while the lunar eclipse was going on, at the house of Advaitacharya in Shantipur, Advaitacharya was with his friend Haridas Thakur, and they began to dance and sing, and nobody knew what they were so happy about. But they knew that this baby boy had been born in Navadvipa at Mayapur, And he was given the name Nimai, because he was born under a nim tree, and for the protection of against demons, nim is that considered materially is considered an antiseptic, but it's used also to counteract demoniac influences. Prabhupada says the active ingredient of nim is margosic acid. He was called Nimai, and he was also called more properly Vishvambar, which means the Lord of the Universe. And he lived at home in Navadvipa with his mother and father for his whole boyhood, where he became a very naughty boy like Krishna was, breaking things in the house and stealing butter and teasing the girls. He used to interrupt the girls in their worship of Lord Shiva and say that they should give the offerings to him, or else they'd get an old husband with many co-wives. And they ran away from him, although they liked it. And he would tease the Brahmins bathing in the Ganges, doing their Gayatri. He would jump under the water and grab their legs. He was very naughty. But he grew up to be a great scholar at a very young age in Sanskrit and grammar. He didn't manifest right away the qualities of a Vaishnava. For his own reasons, he kept it hidden. And seeing that he was such a brilliant, beautiful boy, the Vaishnavas, they wanted him to join them. And he said, I will join you eventually. But he was more engaged in debate. Nobody could defeat him with logic and Sanskrit grammar. Then, however, when he was a little older, still a very young man, his father passed away, and he went to Gaya, where the Hindus go to perform the Shraddha ceremony for their fathers. It's to assure that the soul gets a good position in the next life. While he was in Gaya, he met a great devotee, Ishwara Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And he was so affected by him that he accepted him as his spiritual master. And when he came back from Gaya, he was completely changed. He was no longer the arrogant scholar who would just joke with the Vaishnavas and wouldn't join with them. But he became the leader of the Vaishnavas. And he became like a man obsessed, always chanting Hare Krishna and always in ecstasy. And they used to hold nightly kirtans at Srivastakura's house, and only the Vaishnavas were allowed to enter. And those were very famous for the displays of ecstasy that took place there. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya displayed his form as Vishnu to the devotees. So he was able to conduct the Sankirtan movement very nicely, even as a householder. There is the incident in his household life where the envious persons who were not allowed to come into the kirtan complained to the Qazi about the kirtans being so loud that they couldn't sleep. And so the Kazi sent some men there and they broke some drums and told them to stop the kirtan. Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He was so influential that just at his finger signal, he gathered 100,000 persons and they stormed on the Kazi's palace. And Kazi was very afraid, but they had a talk. They argued about cow killing, and then the Kazi admitted that he had had a very fearful dream in which a lion had come and jumped on his chest and scratched his chest. He said, "Look, the scratch marks are still on my chest, and I was told never to interfere with your Sankirtan, so I promise you I will never do it again." And that's a famous incident in Lord Chaitanya's youth. But he gave up his householder life because he wasn't respected by the students. Sometimes he used to sit alone and chant. And instead of chanting Hare Krishna, he would chant names of the gopis. Gopi, gopi, gopi. And they became angry with him and said, "This is not bona fide. Why are you chanting the names of the gopis?" The Lord Chaitanya became angry with them and he chased them with a stick. And they gathered apart and they became very angry and they said, "Who does he think he is? He's just a householder. If he does this to us again, we'll hit him." Lord Chaitanya became very disappointed by that and he decided that I better take sannyas. I can't conduct my movement as a householder, I won't be respected. So he accepted sannyas from a Shankarite just to keep the social custom of the time. All sannyasis were Shankarites mostly, and he did it for public appearance. So he accepted sannyas from Kesha Bharati and kept the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, his brahmachari name. But this was a great shock to his mother, that he cut off his beautiful hair and was shaven headed and was going to be a sannyasi and not live at home. And he left his beautiful wife, his second wife, Vishnupriya. So Lord Nityananda and Sri Advaita arranged that there be a last meeting with Lord Chaitanya at Sri Advaita's house, and Sachi came and she cooked for them for a week. And then she made her request that Lord Chaitanya, he's taken sannyas, and he said, I must have been crazy to take sannyas, but this body belongs to you, Mother. You tell me what to do." She requested him that at least you live in Jagannath Puri as your headquarters, because Jagannath Puri and Navadvipa are like two rooms in a house. They're nearby, and I can receive word of you so that you're not traveling from very far distant places. I can hear of your activities." So he accepted her proposal and moved to Jagannath Puri. He stayed there for some years, but then he went on a tour of all of India for 6 years. He preached and traveled and converted people to Krishna consciousness, either by kirtan, massive kirtans, and people just immediately became devotees by his chanting, or he had debates with learned scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati. He instructed Rupa Goswami, who was living as a Muslim minister, and Sanatana Goswami made them into great Vaishnavas. So either by learned discourse or by the ecstatic chanting, He swept the whole of India and turned people into Vaishnavas. That was his sannyas touring for 6 years. After that, he returned. He went to the southernmost area of India. He went to Vrindavan. He did not stay in Vrindavan long because he became so ecstatic there, it was dangerous for him. He would jump into the river and he would act in ways that were dangerous to his body. So his servant took him out of Vrindavan. But he visited Bengal again. He had a famous meeting with Ramananda Roy, which is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a very elevated dialogue in which they discussed everything starting from Varnashram Dharma all the way up to Gopi Bhav. And he promised Ramananda Roy that they would spend the rest of their days together. Ramananda Roy should get resigned from his government post. He was the governor of Madras. So Lord Chaitanya returned to Jagannath Puri, and for 18 years he stayed there, and he used to take part in the Rath Yatras. Every year the devotees would come from Bengal and stay with him for 4 months and have wonderful pastimes like the cleaning of the Gundicha temple and festivals and intimate talks and kirtans. But then the remaining final 12 years of his 18 years in Jagannath Puri, he took a more secluded way of life and lived in the Gambira, the small room in Kashi Mishra's house, where he spent his time just with two associates, or two and a half, it said. But his main associates were Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. He used to pass the time by singing songs in the Madhurya Ras, reciting verses from plays. And sometimes he would talk like a madman. He would talk as if he were Radharani, and he would chastise Krishna. Sometimes his ecstasy was such that it was incomprehensible. He would be locked up in the Gambira at night, but sometimes he would get out past all the bolts and the doors and be found lying among the cows in a distorted condition of body. One time he chased after the sand dunes, the Chatika Parvata, they're called, thinking they were Govardhan Hill. He ran as fast as the wind after these sand dunes. Another time he jumped into the ocean, thinking it was a Yamuna, and he floated unconscious all the way down to Konark, where the sun god temple is, and he was caught in a net by a fisherman. So these were mad displays of incomprehensible states of consciousness which ordinary people can't understand. But Lord Chaitanya enjoyed himself in this way in his final years, and he was tasting, as I said before, with his original or his confidential reasons for coming to the world, he was tasting the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna, and showing the world by personal example what this is. So we have this book. There are several biographies, but the most important one is the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj. Prabhupada made a great gift to the world of translating and making commentary on it. And everything is here. We should read it regularly. And we should consider ourselves as followers, by following Lord Chaitanya, you can, only by following Lord Chaitanya in the Sankirtan movement, can you come to understand the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. You can't go direct to Radha and Krishna, you have to go through Lord Chaitanya and Sankirtan. So all over the world, in gatherings of devotees today, they're honoring Gaur Purnimas. Sometimes on a very big scale, like in Mayapur, and here our gathering with a few devotees to have kirtan and feast and talk about Lord Chaitanya. Anyone have any questions? Yes. Yes.
I guess back in the 70s, and still in the 80s, it was very, the idea, the consciousness of that we were the Sankirtan movement was quite strong. Even if sometimes we focused on different types of Sankirtan with Harinam, but the book distribution, it was so strong. And I feel that there, in certain parts of the world, especially in America, for some time there appeared to be a drier period.
Yeah.
But we were just speaking before you came. I feel that it's amazing to me that I feel that the Sankirtan movement is very alive today, and that if we're just a little more expert, you know, that people are wanting to hear the holy name, they're wanting to chant the holy name. And, you know, different places like yoga studios, but even for ourselves, the more available we are, anyone wants to sit down and chant the holy name, they'll chant it.
Yeah.
On eternal. So I was thinking that, you know, I think that Prabhupada brought it here, and it appears that it was a special time when the hippies and everything was around. But it seems that it's just strong, is that Lord Chaitanya's movement is just going to pick up more and more.
Yes.
Elaborating on it, because I feel like it's back.
It's back in your heart. And in your Govinda's restaurant is doing a good thing. In some places, sometimes the Ganges runs narrow and then it gets broad. So it may be a little narrow now, but it's expanding in different parts of the world. They just showed me a video of the Abhishek of the Panchatattva. It certainly seemed like the Sankirtan movement was alive there.
You explained that without the worship of Lord Chaitanya, that we cannot approach Krishna. And I hope it's not a foolish question, but I've tried to understand it for years. We have, for instance, in Vrindavan, the Vrijbasis and Jagannath Puri, they worship Jagannath. Is it that our branch of Gaudiya Vaishnav is that the principle that applies there, or is it a general principle? For instance, I've tried to understand when I've met Indians or people in Vrindavan of different, that they accept Krishna, but they don't understand or accept Lord Chaitanya. To try and understand, is it just that they're from a different branch?
Well, they are from a different branch, but they are lacking a higher understanding. That's a serious lack, to not understand that Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar and that we go to Radha Krishna through him. So it's something that we have to try to establish by our propaganda, make Lord Chaitanya known. They can reach Krishna without Lord Chaitanya, but for us, we go through Lord Chaitanya.
I think someone told me once it's the difference between this and this.
Yeah.
That it's just the long, long way around. But I've tried to understand, because certainly I don't want to judge anyone who's worshiping Krishna at the same time. I can recall many times being a little bewildered that they don't, haven't been taught or haven't gotten.
Yeah, well, throughout India, Lord Chaitanya is recognized as a great saint, but not accepted as a Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So we are the most fortunate.
Yeah.
Actually, I was telling Shastra when we were in Mayapur that year, Jagatakamara said that Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that if you simply lay down for a nap, he considers that you're offering obeisances. In Mayapur, that is.
Yeah.
In Mayapur.
Yeah.
Yes, you mentioned that Kirtan was one of Lord Chaitanya's favorite activities. I was going to suggest, I actually asked Shastra, would it have been a good idea for us to go on Harinam today on the beach? But then I thought maybe not because of different circumstances. But sometimes I'm approached by people, and some of the devotees are also approached by some people about they miss the Harinam chanting on South Street. They miss the devotees. They don't see the devotees anymore. They miss the chanting. So it's and book distribution as well. That part is sacred time. It seems to be diminishing. Some devotees may have a desire to want to go out on Harinam or distribute books, even myself, because of my health. But I can't wait. I'm very anxious. I hope the Lord gives me the energy and the ability to get out and do book distribution. Once again, I have that, like you said, Ariyas, it's in his heart. It's in my heart also to want to do this, but it seems like it's like a struggle to get out there and do these things. Why is that? Do you have to wait for the golden age before you can get the enthusiasm? Or what's going on with book distribution and Harinam? It's not diminishing, but what's happening?
Well, it is diminishing some places.
Why is that? This is Lord Chaitanya's movement. And he's very powerful and he's very strong. So there must be some reason why this is happening. Lord Chaitanya said, Chaito Dharma Marjanam, the Dharma of the Lightning of Ripana, Shri Rakaro Kantra Kapitarna, the Yavadu Chivanam, Anandam Guru Varnam, Pratipanam, Param Swarnam, Sarvat Vasta Vatra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Right.
Why is this happening in Lord Chaitanya so strong and so powerful? Why is this happening to the devotees?
I can't say really. It's just some of the older devotees like yourself are not able to do it. I'm not able to do it. But we should be directing younger devotees to do it, or doing it as much as we can.
By the way, Ananda was talking in a car right down. There's some different type of Harinam going on with the young people.
What kind of
can you explain that, by the way, Ananda?
Well, I just heard that the, for instance, the Skorabani and he has a group, they call themselves the Kindred Spirits. And they're very excited about a whole new kind of deliverance. They go into the yoga studios and all these different places and put on concerts and getting a nice reception from people. And our discussion was based on a point that there's an article in the New York Times referring to that. And one of the things that was mentioned was that there was some discussion about, is this the same Hare Krishnas, those same people who are out begging in the streets and harassing people in the airports? Is this the same, are these the same people? So, actually our discussion was based on that, for me anyway, because I was pondering whether what I did and things that I did, was it actually good, was it not so good, all those years of distribution, and I don't know how to feel nowadays.
Well, it may have been a little misdirected, some of the tactics and things, but the intent was good, and Prabhupada was pleased with the book distribution. But it reached a point where there was too much deviation in the tactics, and it had to be stopped. But book distribution is still alive. Maybe more like you're saying in yoga studios and places like that, infiltrating.
You answered that question once, the Haridas, I remember when you were in California, and you said, to get faith in the Sankirtan movement, how do you get faith in Krishna? Sometimes you have to go to India. So whereas in certain places the Sankirtan movement may not look so strong, but the other instance you have Lokanath Maharaj opening a new temple in a new city in India with tens of thousands of people coming. Or as Prahlad Prabhu has witnessed, you know, hundreds of thousands of people going to Mayapur. So if you go to Vrindavan, our temple is always filled.
Yeah.
And you know, Dana Maharaj made the comment once, it's almost like easier to preach to the devotees of the West by staying in Vrindavan as they come to visit, because there's so many devotees that are coming through and visiting. So, you know, there also was the comment made that in Mayapur for Gaur Purnima, there'll be more Russian devotees there than there'll be Indian-born devotees.
Hmm.
So I think that Prabhupada might have had a plan to rejuvenate India by coming here first. But it just seems that the Sankirtan movement in India is being rejuvenated. And in other places it's increasing. And in some places it may just be maintaining.
Yeah.
But I don't think that one should be discouraged. And anyone who gets discouraged in the potency of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada set up the holy dhammas. And I think that's a wonderful way for a person to regain faith if one's feeling some discouragement.
Well said. Yeah.
Now, I'd like to maybe elaborate a little bit on, you talked about the holy name ultimately taking us to Krishna Bhava, where there's Radha and Krishna. And you know, a lot of times we're chanting the name, and you explained how merciful the name was. But at the same time, when you have diamonds, you have to be very careful if you want to keep them all together. So basically, my question is, in seeing and in actually trying to develop a relationship with Radha and Krishna, how do we, from this Sankirtan movement, from our chanting, how do we begin to develop that, where we can begin to get this taste that, you know, we know that it's coming. You know, even if we don't have that right now, we start to feel some, you know, semblance that that's there.
Well, in your own individual chanting, you have to cry out for it. And desire it, have some greed for it. cry like a child for its mother. Not just take it as a routine thing that I do, I chant my rounds. But think this is the path to Krishna consciousness, and I must apply myself and cry to Krishna, or cry that I can't cry. Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya also said, "Oh my Lord, will my eyes be decorated with tears flowing constantly when a gentle woman remains?" Suppose that doesn't happen. Suppose you don't have the desire to feel it. And Hari also said, "When will you feel it?" Like you mentioned to someone years ago, they asked you, "When will it happen?" You've been chanting and chanting, you're waiting for it to happen. Maybe it never does happen for you. But suppose you don't care whether it does or not. You just want to go on serving Krishna and serving
yes.
Krishna. And then if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But you're just happy that you
yes, that's very
have an well. Opportunity to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Nice. We're not serving for our spiritual sense gratification, but trying to please Krishna. Yeah.
It was pretty ecstatic. They took us all to the Ganges and we chanted during the full eclipse. It was pretty far out. It had to be one of the most intense experiences I've ever gone through.
So we'll stop.